Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2013. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how are you all? I hope you've had a very good week, and I do want to say that I hope that everyone in the Midwest and the South, that you are all safe. I know that there has been some very, very, very serious weather that has been going through. All kinds of amazing weather fronts have been bringing, goodness, everything from snow to hail to thunderstorms to tornadoes. It has been an incredible week. And meanwhile, by contrast, many of us finally, here on the eastern seaboard, have been experiencing, I won't even say spring-like weather, I'll say summer-like weather. It has been warm. It has been in the high 80s, low 90s. It's been beach weather. Well, I did say last week that I hoped that I would be able to say that I'm a little warmer. Well, I've been able to say that this week. Not a complaint at all. But in the meantime, I do hope that those of you who had less than desirable weather have come through safely. I know when the weather changes and those fronts go from hot to cold, there's usually some very turbulent weather that comes with that. So certainly my thoughts and prayers are for all of you and for your safety. Well, things are going on all over the place, and I have sort of a potpourri of things to share. A shout out going out this weekend to everyone in Arkansas who has the pleasure and the wonderful opportunity of attending a major historical event. Well, it's not necessarily anything because it's never happened before. I'm referring to the 72nd Annual Conference of the Arkansas Historical Society, which is taking place this weekend. Actually, it started yesterday on Thursday. But I say it's major because in another sense, it is a landmark event. Their theme is claiming freedom, looking particularly at the communities of Helena and West Helena, Arkansas. Now, I say that this is sort of a landmark event because I have to commend the Arkansas Historical Society for selecting this topic, and it looks like an impressive event. This is landmark, I say, because we're talking about a state that was historically part of the Confederate South, and here now, 150 years later, from 1863, from the beginning of the dismantling of the institution of slavery. Here, this one-time Confederate state is celebrating the freedom that was claimed by thousands and thousands of people who were enslaved and who for so many years they lived, toiled, they died there. Now their focus, as I said, is Helena, West Helena area, which is primarily on the Mississippi Delta. But there were enslaved people, of course, throughout the state. But the concentration, for lack of a better word, I guess, the concentration of enslaved people was on the Delta, and the fact that in 1863, many of these people began to experience for the first time freedom and to be able to breathe free air, so to speak. And now the state where so many ancestors were enslaved, the state is celebrating the fact that they were beginning to claim their freedom. I find it just really delightful. Times have certainly changed. Not even 50 years ago would this have come easily in terms of celebrating this theme. This is, after all, the state where So much happened at Central High School in 1957 when the Little Rock Nine went through so much to desegregate the high school there. And of course, one should not forget this lesser known chapter in Arkansas history, the North Little Rock Five. So many things were going on. But I'm happy to see this event. I'm going to put a link to their program. They're addressing wonderful things. They're addressing contrabands. They are looking at a story, by the way. I put a story on my blog about 2 years ago about a child who was found crying as an infant in a log, a baby. And it was a black child who had been abandoned. The family had been running from the war itself, and they were refugees. They were on the move, and for whatever reason, the mother was separated from the child. Did the mother die? We don't know. But two white children, found the child, took the child home. And the child grew up in that household. We don't necessarily know details about the relationship of the child to the family, but the story was depicted in a story of Thomas McElroy, and there's going to be a presentation about Thomas McElroy at this conference. So I was happy to see that. They're going to talk about Jenkins Ferry. They're going to talk about so many things. I'm happy to see this. I hope that many people will embrace it who are attending this event. And I hope also that if your own state is looking at Civil War and they're looking at the impact that the Civil War had on the people of color, that you will support that event. You'll go, you'll listen, you'll learn, because we know, yes, it was the war between brothers, and so many things happened in terms of so many lives were lost, but so many lives were also enhanced because there was a paradigm shift. They were no longer in a state of bondage, and this is something that has to be acknowledged. I'm just very proud of my home state for having this conference. Speaking of the Civil War, I had some interesting experiences this week. I've heard from a number of people who've stumbled upon some article that they saw on one of my blogs. And yes, I do have a few blogs. I have one devoted to the Civil War. That one is called the USCT Chronicle. And I was very, very pleased to have received a very nice letter from someone who had read it. This is someone also from Eastern Arkansas. In that particular, on that particular blog post that the individual was responding to was the fact that I had referred to contraband camps in the state of Arkansas. As you may know or may not know, that people who were taking refuge during the Civil War at Union Army encampments, these are individuals who were once enslaved, the Union Army came through, and they realized, get to the Union line and you may find freedom. Well, these freedom seekers were often referred to as contrabands. And without going into the whole history of that with Benjamin Butler at Fort Monroe in Virginia, refugee slaves, I'll just simply say, were referred to as contrabands, and they were often given housing and settlements referred to as contraband camps. I, in fact, have an ancestor who was a resident in a contraband camp on President's Island in Shelby County, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis. Actually, at that time, it really was an island in the Mississippi River. Now it's a peninsula, and one just goes, onto the peninsula. It's now all industrial, but there was historically a contraband camp there. But I digress. I wrote an article about my interest in finding contraband camps and evidence of contraband camps in Arkansas. I showed some documents that I stumbled upon by accident, and I wrote a blog post about it. Well, I got a wonderful response from a gentleman who saw the post and said, "By the way, some of the places that you've referred to in your blog about the contraband camps in Arkansas have now been honored with or have been certainly acknowledged by having historical markers put there, and a park has been established to honor the contrabands who lived there. What a surprise. I never knew this. A park. Again, this is my home state. This is Arkansas. This is a state where so many people lived right there on the Mississippi Delta. And now the stories are emerging. And I'm so happy because children who descend from those individuals who were enslaved can now see monuments that reflect their ancestry, that reflect their ancestors who became freedom seekers. And just something that I was just so pleased. And I guess for me, part of the lesson to that story is the fact that, you know, when you blog about something, you write about it, you turn it into a story, you turn it into the lessons that you learned from having gone on that research excursion, and to write about that piece, you just never know how others may end up seeing it, may end up replying to it, and may end up enlightening you. What we do often as writers, we try to enlighten our readers, but oftentimes it is the person who responds who ends up enlightening us, the writer. I mean, just what a greater joy can there be to find out that someone was inspired enough to share something that would make me thrilled to know about. And that certainly was a case. And of course, that's always my mantra, I guess, in general, for blogging. Another reason to tell the story. You know, what we do, it's far beyond just talking about our grandpa. We got to remember that the story is bigger than we are, and it's bigger than our own family. Anyway, speaking of which, as I've talked about that, many of you know that when I write or write a post on one of my blogs, I share it on social media. And yes, I do use social media a lot. I use Twitter, I use Facebook whenever I write a piece. I post it on the various groups. I use it and post it on Afrogenius message boards as well. Well, I saw something very, very interesting that was shared with me actually just yesterday. And again, I guess sometimes what I go through as not just a person who likes to write, but as I go through as a person who likes to research, I go through these moments of reflection. And I don't know if you have that experience, but I do. I go through these moments of reflection when I have to stop and pause and realize, oh yeah, sometimes it's almost by accident that we are where we are. It's almost by an accident of geography that we live where we live. And anyway, let me tell you about this that I experienced just yesterday. I saw something was shared on Twitter, and it was actually a link to an article that had been shared by a Smithsonian archivist. And apparently, pardon me, apparently, this archivist had been researching an old notebook, actually a ledger, and it contained some data with lists of words in several languages. And these words were shared by African slaves who had been taken to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Now, this is kind of fascinating to me, just for so many reasons. Now, the data that she was collecting and had been going through, and apparently it goes into a lot of detail. It talked about not just words, but traditional markings on the body that some of the enslaved people had had. If there were certain marks or scarification marks that maybe were marks that identified individuals from one tribe to another, or perhaps maybe certain piercings, the way the ears were pierced or something, among the women. All of this data had been collected. And now apparently this information is at the Smithsonian, the Institute Research Information System, CIRIS, S-I-R-I-S. But I guess because it was so interesting reading about this ledger. By the way, the ledger has been digitized. That's right, digitized in its entirety. So that was something that was really wonderful to see. But I guess I found myself reflecting after I looked at it. And of course, I didn't find something that connected me to anyone, but it still made me pause and think, yes, what we do is beyond ourselves, it is beyond our families, and it is beyond our own immediate community. We are part of such a larger family, including those individuals who were enslaved and taken to other countries. It's an accident of geography that my ancestors ended up in America, some in North Carolina, some in Virginia, and those individuals who eventually ended up, they themselves, as well as their children and great-grandchildren, ended up in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Mississippi and Tennessee and so many other parts now around the world. But I think about that and I realize it is. It's a remarkable miracle. It's a miracle that I'm living here in this country during this day and this time. And we're reminded of this continually, that we're part of this larger family. Every time I get a new match, some sort of DNA match through either 23andMe or through Family Tree DNA, a high resolution match, I'm still reminded on how I'm part of a larger family. I get matches in Brazil frequently. I get matches in the Canary Islands, Las Canarias. I get matches everywhere. And it's something that does make one pause. And if one sees that, yes, you have ties to Brazil or Portugal and other parts of the globe, I know that many of us use DNA as a way that we fill in the gaps, what we think okay, tell us a little bit more about our ancestors, because there is no paper trail to tell this. But at the same time, just looking at that one article and that ledger that was shared in a link on Twitter, it's a reminder that there are still some records to be found. They're just not widely known, and before now, they were not accessible. But you know, we do connect with a larger world. And just knowing certain things are appreciated by the archivists who hold them, by the archivists who have them and who realize, you know what, we need to digitize this and make this available. There are how many countless other ledgers like that are out there waiting to be digitized? Heaven only knows, but I think there are more. And it's just one of those things that reminds me and should remind all of us that we still have so much more work to do. Well, a reminder also for you to keep your calendars up to date. Time is passing quickly. 2 weeks from today, well, 2 weeks and a day, I guess, from today in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the 27th from 9 o'clock to 3, an African American genealogical event will take place at the Family History Center. This is being sponsored by the African American Genealogy Group in Philadelphia. The following week, May 4th, in Washington, D.C., well, in Greater Washington, it's actually going to be in Kensington, Maryland. There's an all-day genealogical conference that's going to take place at the Latter-day Saints Family History Center in Kensington. And for those of you who know Greater Washington or who have driven through it, you know, when you're on 495 on the Beltway and you see the big white steeple coming out through the trees, that is the Latter-day Saints Temple, and adjacent to it is the facility, the Family History Center, where the conference will take place on the 4th. So things are coming up, and of course, I know you know that June is going to be a rich month full of events. The California Jamboree, wow, one of the very, I always refer to as one of the big three. There's NGS, FGS, and the California Jamboree. Well, it's coming up in June, followed by Sanford Institute of Genealogy, and I can't wait to get to both of those events to present, and more importantly, to listen and to learn. And I hope that many of you are seriously thinking about coming to MAGI. That's right, MAAGI, the Midwestern African American Genealogical Institute. There are now two scholarships that are available, and one is the Afrogenius Scholarship Award, and the other is the Evolution Consulting Group Scholarship Award. There's still time, and keep in mind, yes, it's an African American sponsored event. It's open to people of all backgrounds. So if you're a person who's very interested in researching African Americans, learning more about specific record groups, about specific collections or holdings in research libraries, this is an opportunity. Your color doesn't matter. We are very, very excited, those of us working with the planning committee. And yes, meet us in St. Louis. By the way, I hope that you had a chance to connect or to connect to listen to Bernice Bennett's show last night. Bernice herself is out of town. Hope she's having a good weekend. I believe she's in Pennsylvania. Her guest host last night was Natan Kemp, who was a wonderful host, and the guest was a librarian from the Alexandria, Virginia Library, who just opened our eyes to so much information. Wonderful, wonderful data that's there, and some wonderful advice on how to utilize special collections when one is going to a research facility. And many people think about going to Washington. Two places come to mind: the National Archives and the Library of Congress. But you may want to also put on your list the special collections of the Alexandria Public Library. Our guest last night was Leslie Anderson, who is a woman of wonderful skill, background, education, trained as an archivist, and just provided fantastic information. And of course, Bernice's show can be heard online if you miss it live, but if you want to catch it live, it's every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time on Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to make one more mention of something, and it's kind of a job announcement. And this is kind of a different kind of thing. If you're knowing anyone who's seeking a position in I guess archival studies, I guess, or anyone who would like to become an archivist. Well, there is a master's level program, and it's actually the Association of Research Libraries in a Congressional District in Washington, D.C., has a program. And it's actually a recruitment program, which is part of the Society of American Archivists Mosaic Scholarship Program. And they want to provide 15 master's students in archival science or special collections librarianship with financial support and paid internships in libraries and archives. And this is kind of an interesting thing to take a look at. It's the Mosaic program, and they're really going to put some energy in terms of extending a hand into people from various communities. Diversity is important to them, and there's an opportunity for individuals to have really a great experience, a paid internship kind of program. Take a look. I was kind of fascinated when I saw it, and appreciate the fact that it was shared with me. And yes, we do need individuals who do work in these facilities as archivists, as specialists, and special collections, such as the work that Leslie Anderson does at Alexandria. We need allies in these facilities, the individuals who know the importance of making things available, but also looking at something that might be seemingly obscure, seemingly irrelevant, but realizing, whoa, it is quite relevant. Anyway, take a look at the link that I'm providing for you. It might be really quite interesting. My goodness. Okay, here we are. I'm looking at the time. I think it's about time for me to wind things down for another week. I always appreciate you for taking out the time to listen to the podcast and for sharing your events with me that I can certainly pass on to the listeners. I appreciate all of you, and it is an honor for me to interact with so many of you. So in the meantime, I hope that you do continue to have the same spirit and to exhibit the spirit of giving and camaraderie. And of course, please remember to keep doing what you do, and that is to keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.